This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West. As we get ready for an LSU-Florida matchup that, you know, maybe took a little bit of hit in ratings per se after both teams coming off a loss. But Glenn, it's going to be another night game in Death Valley, which I was, we were talking about before we started. We might be blessed with a full slate of night games in Death Valley to end the season. Georgia State going to be a night game, I believe 7 p.m. kickoff local time. And then you have to figure A&M might be one as well. But man, it's going to be nice to spend the last 3 weeks at home in our own beds. And I know the players are excited about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for us writers to have all these stories that are going to be posting at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure that'll get lots of views. So it's great for us, but, it's even better for the fans, of course. And, Saturday nights in Death Valley are certainly an experience, a very unique experience all on their own. And, it's going to be a good, fun matchup and fun kind of last 3 weeks here, especially now with some of these, season-long hopes that are dashed, and I'm sure we'll get into that more here in the next couple minutes. But now you get a really good chance to look at what you got in terms of culture, in terms of just how you kind of bounce back in the mindset of this group, and because this is all stuff that Brian Kelly's been preaching from the very beginning, that he really wants this program to be built on, and that's going to be tested in a very different way here over the next 3 weeks.
Man, you had a nice little transition here as we talk about kind of avoiding that hangover that has plagued LSU in recent years when they're kind of out of it. And a lot of teams across the country, it's hard to keep up that same intensity. I do agree with you, Glenn. I think we're going to learn a lot about the culture, the foundation that's being set, just 2 years into Brian Kelly's tenure. I know you've been around and you've seen some of those hangover games. How do you feel like this team is structured to handle that? And taking away from what Kelly said earlier this week, and then obviously the players on Tuesday, how do you feel like the mood inside the locker room is?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to just kind of wait and see. I do think that part of this is going to be about at least in the short term, the health of Jaden Daniels and just kind of what that looks like for LSU. I mean, so much of this team has been him putting them on his back. And when you take that equation out of this game potentially, then that is absolutely going to be something to monitor here over the next several hours, several days. By the time most people are watching this, we'll probably have a good indication of whether or not Jaden's going to be able to play or just what that situation looks like after Thursday's press conference with Brian Kelly. So, I think just in terms of just total mood in the locker room, we talked with a couple of players this week and obviously spoke with BK some as well. And they still have stuff to play for. I mean, that was one of the bigger takeaways I had from Garrett Dellinger, is that even though they have three losses and that some of the, season long goals for this group are kind of out the window, there's still individual goals that they can achieve. They still want to put good film out there for NFL teams, for people that are watching. It's going to be important for these last 3 weeks not to just kind of, fold in the towel and kind of just punt on these last three games. You've got to continue to play well, continue to show that you're a team that's on the rise. And you know, one of the things that Brian Kelly said earlier this week is that, you know, 10-win season, back-to-back 10-win seasons are still within reach with this group. And while that may not be the ultimate goal that this program wants to have in terms of competing for championships year in, year out, that is steady consistency in terms of what mm-hmm. you're doing. And I think for a program that's still kind of in its, I wouldn't say infancy, but it's in its toddler phases, young kid phases of being rebuilt here. That's something that you can build on is back to back double digit win seasons. I don't think that, there's going to be an element, I think, of disappointment with this year that naturally comes, you know, just because of how great the offense has looked for the last 2 months. It kind of is what it is right now. The defense is way behind the offense. They've got to do some really great work in this offseason to kind of replenish that group again. I think the one thing that I've kind of, I think that you kind of notice in terms of the biggest difference on both sides of the ball and something that I wrote about earlier this week is offense has some continuity and the defense has very little continuity in terms of returning players from year over year. The offense obviously has its quarterback. It has its elite receivers, its offensive line, its coaching staff. Everybody's coming back. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you've got most of your coaches back. Obviously, the defensive line situation has been well chronicled at this point, but you don't really have a whole bunch of returning starters from that group a year ago. And I think that's going to be another problem that LSU's going to have to really face this year, because I don't know how many of those guys from this year's roster will be back next year. I think that there's certainly a couple foundational pieces that you hope to get back and that you can continue to build on. But this is going to be a retooling situation, I think, again, this offseason. And that's a really, really tough place to start, you know, in terms of where you want to get this defense ultimately. I think having 3 years in a row of just kind of a revolving door of personnel is not going to be exactly the model that LSU wants to follow. They want to get some guys in here that are sticking around for 2-3 years at a time. And they're still in that phase right now defensively of where that's just not necessarily the case.
Yeah, you know, that was the hope, obviously, coming into this season. And one thing that BK talked about, I guess, earlier this year was that he didn't necessarily – you know, there's a reason he didn't go out and get, you know, 1 year guys left to play this season. He wanted it. And look, it just hasn't worked out, whether it's been maybe some missed evaluations, whether it's been, just the inability to stay on the field that doesn't involve, you know, physical ailments that have necessarily, I mean, it's just been a lot of different things.
It's crazy.
It's all gone wrong.
They missed on some really key spots. I mean, the one spot that they absolutely couldn't miss on this offseason was cornerback secondary. And right now you're at a position where all four of your cornerback transfers aren't playing for you at this point in the year. And that's just really tough. I mean, you've got to be able to do a little bit of a better job of finding the right pieces next year, hoping those guys can stick around. We'll see kind of what happens with the whole Denver Harris situation. I think if there's one guy that, you know, could probably be useful in terms of coming back next year as one of these transfers, it would be him. But I just, I don't know that there's a whole lot of confidence that, that will happen. I mean, we'll see. But, I think you're going to be having another conversation here about just what LSU's going to do in the portal in the secondary and once this regular season wraps up. And, J.K. Johnson's another guy that hasn't played all season, but, I think has a lot of long-term potential that they really like. And so getting him back in the fold and healthy will be really, really important. But yeah, like you mentioned, it's absolutely critical that they get some of these players in that are going to be around, that are going to be foundational pieces of their defense for the next couple of years, because I do think they have a couple that are that have that potential. Whit Weeks, Deshaun Womack, I would still throw in Mason Smith. I know it hasn't been a great year for Mason this year, but I think you could probably safely say he should be probably back next year. I mean, I would be a little bit surprised if he decides to leave after the season that he's had this year. But there's still some core pieces here. Harold Perkins, you'll have back next year, so that'll be very, very interesting to see just kind of what guys they can fit around them. And guys that they can not only fit around the pieces next year, but that will be around for the next couple of years.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you. I think that's something that is – you got to build continuity. And one thing that I take away, Glenn, and this is obviously before I even, made the move over here, was I'll never forget watching the Texas Bowl against Kansas State back in 2021 and seeing just a lack of players, like lack of scholarship players that LSU had. And I think this is one thing that you and I kind of hinted at in our instant reaction video at that awkward angle in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. But when you take the 30,000-foot view, yes, this is it's going the right direction. Like, yes, back-to-back 10-win seasons are. I think the frustration, the disappointment, which is well-warranted, is the fact that, you know, and Kelly was asked this on Monday, and I understand he can't answer it, but I'll answer it for him. I think, yes, what Jaden Daniels has done did accelerate expectations for this season, and I think it's okay for the fans to be frustrated. You can understand that you're still on the right track, but be disappointed with how this year has turned out. Kind of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think probably one of the first things I said here on this pod was, like, the offense and how great the offense was, there was going to be a layer of disappointment that comes with this season at three losses at this point. I mean, Jaden has been fantastic. He's been everything you've hoped for in terms of his development. I think it's been really great for this, you know, offensive staff to continue to see that development from not only him, but guys like Brian Thomas has really broken onto the scene this year. Logan Diggs has had a very nice season. Malik Nabers has gotten even better from last year. He's getting in the end zone a lot more than he did last year. So, like, they're seeing some notable progress. I think probably the one, you know, the offensive lines look really good. I think probably the one group that you kind of thought might take that next step, the one guy, is Mason Taylor. He seems like he's been battling some injuries this year, and he's kind of not, I wouldn't say he's underperformed, but he's kind of just plateaued. He's kind of like in the same level that he was at maybe last year. And they just haven't been able to get him as involved as I hoped that they would. But, you know, still very, very positive trajectory for that room going forward, and really for all of these rooms, when you look at just kind of the young pieces and some of the core guys that they're going to have back next year. So, I think, you know, expectations are high at LSU every year, and, you know, Brian Kelly hasn't really shied away from, you know, taking the hits this season in terms of just, you know, what the year two outlook was supposed to be and just kind of what it's wound up becoming. I think that there's some stuff that this program needs to continue to go do better. But I think that, you know, if you look at 2 years here into it, overall, it's a very positive start to this tenure. I mean, like, I think it's very hard, especially in college football, to have a quick turnaround of a football program in 1, 2, 3 years. It's something that takes time, especially in today's age where NIL and the transfer portal and all that stuff is very, very real and very, you know, and can overhaul your roster year in and year out. It's still something I think a lot of these coaching staffs are navigating across the country. And, you know, it'll be very interesting to see kind of how LSU looks in year three. But I think that's, you know, the overwhelming takeaway here is that there's still some stuff that you can build on to improve, but there's a good foundation in place. And I think some really core pieces that you can really build around.
Let's take a look at this week's game. Obviously, the biggest storyline there, Glenn, is the health of Jaden Daniels. By the time a lot of people listen to this, maybe tonight or tomorrow or on Saturday, we're going to have a maybe more concrete answer on this. But just kind of this quarterback position, what it's going to look like heading into Saturday. I mean, you're facing a Florida team that's going to be missing arguably their best player and one of their middle linebackers, defensive lineman. That's what really kind of three key injuries. You can take a look at that Behind Enemy Lines podcast over on the YouTube channel or in your podcast feeds that we sat down with Jacob Rudner about. But, you know, if it's Garrett Nussmeier, you still feel confident about this offense to get the job done against a Florida defense that it really struggles at times. Glenn, your thoughts on what it looks like. And, you know, we like to say it's not all one guy. Jaden Daniels has been kind of that one guy, but it still feels like there's enough pieces to elevate Nussmeier. And I'm not saying Nussmeier's not good. What I'm saying is he's just not Jaden Daniels right now. Nussmeier's still a very good football player. Kind of your thoughts on the quarterback position. What do you expect to happen?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Jaden's going to be, continue to be evaluated here. I mean, when we're recording this, it's on Thursday afternoon before we get a final update from BK. So, you know, we'll preface this by saying that I think that they're doing everything that they can to get Daniels ready. Daniels is pushing very hard to play in this game. And if he's cleared, I would expect him to play. And, you know, mm-hmm. I expect him to play well. I mean, he probably doesn't get the whole week of preparation in terms of snaps and reps that he would probably prefer, and I'm sure LSU would probably prefer, but if that guy's healthy enough to play, you're not sitting him on the bench. And so I think that that's what we'll learn a little bit more. And if not, and it'll probably be a game time decision kind of thing. But, you know, if this does be and wind up being a situation where it's going to be Nuss, I think that there's a lot of confidence that he can do the job. You know, he hasn't had a whole ton of opportunities where we've been able to see him throw the ball in terms of just an extended period of time where, you know, LSU hasn't, you know, the couple other times he's had chances this year outside of Alabama, it was, you know, blowout city against Grambling mm-hmm. and Army and some of these other teams that they were way, way ahead of at the time. So you can't really judge him on that. I don't think you can really judge him on the fourth quarter either. Last week against Alabama, you know, they moved the ball down one time. They weren't able to score, but you know, the thing here that I have with Nuss is that he is a very capable thrower. He's got a very strong yeah. arm. And the thing here that you're going to really learn if he does, in fact, get the start is just what this could look like next year. I mean, like, you know, you won't have Malik Nabers. I think the jury's still out on Brian Thomas. I would be, I don't want to say surprised if he leaves, but I would be, there's reason to believe here if Brian Thomas came back, he could really help himself in next year and having a kind of being that clear cut number one guy. But NFL teams are also going to fall in love with the size and the potential and everything that he's done this year. So, he could very well leave as well. But yeah, there's a lot of pieces here though that are still kind of in place. I mean, you're going to have most of your offensive line intact for next year. You're going to have obviously Mason Taylor, and that tight end room is going to be a year older. Running back room is going to look really strong with guys like Caleb Jackson and potentially Logan Diggs and Trey Holly and whatever mixture of players come back from those other guys. But this is going to be a good test, I think, for Nussmeier in terms of just what he has to work with weapon-wise next year, what just getting some on-field experience with some of these guys, I think, is going to be really beneficial for him. And so if he does start, I expect him to play well. And like he's mentioned, Florida's been not great defensively this year. So like they there are some holes that they'll be able to attack. I would expect their game plan to not change a whole ton. Just maybe you don't call as many quarterback design runs. I mean, that's probably the only thing that you kind of eliminate from the game plan. But Nuss is very capable of throwing the ball downfield. He hits the intermediate routes. You know, he's been working on that really for the last year, becoming more accurate in those short and intermediate routes. And I think that he's done a good job of kind of improving as a quarterback. And so now we'll get a chance, if he is called upon, to really see what he's got in a full-time start.
You know, it seems like the same preview podcast every single week. We talk about what LSU could do offensively, and now, Glenn, we move over. Can this defense prove something over the final three games? It starts this weekend. You know, you look at Florida from a bird's-eye view. They've got Graham Mertz, who's been efficient but not necessarily explosive as a quarterback. I think he's been a good game manager for them at times, but he's also been a guy that when they needed to really move down the field quickly, he's not maybe not the best fit for them. They've got two running backs, Montrell Johnson and Trevor Etienne there, who've just been very, very, just two guys that I think when you look at what they're able to do, it's physical Billy Napier style football. And that's what they like to do. Your thoughts on this defense heading into Florida? I'll preface it with this. Ovie Ogofu talked a lot about communication being the issue. And I know fans take an issue with that, Glenn, because it's like it's a week 11. Like, how is communication still a problem? I think that's a well-warranted question. And to coach to player, look, we don't want to dive in and, you know, get too critical here. I mean, it's our job, but, you know, you don't want to get too overcritical. That's, to me, that's not acceptable to have still have those issues, 11 weeks into the football season.
Yeah, it's not, and I wish I had a good answer in terms of why that's been the case. But yeah. I mean, unless you're in that locker room, I don't really know why the communication's been as poor as it's been. But, 11 weeks in, you kind of are what you are as a defense. I don't think there's any kind of, drastic improvement that you can make. I think probably the biggest thing that I could say here is that Mertz is not necessarily your runner's kind of quarterback, which has been the big bugaboo for this front seven all season. You know, this is not a very mobile guy. So there's going to be some opportunity, I think, to get some pressure on him, maybe force him into some bad throws. But it really starts with Florida with the run game. And like you mentioned, ATN and Johnson, those guys are pretty consistent for them in terms of making dynamic plays. But, you know, look, I think probably the biggest thing here that Florida's going to try to do is they're going to try to get that run game going early, because one of the strengths of Mertz has been the play action pass. I mean, I was talking with Jacobson for our other Behind the Lines segment that we do from a writing perspective, and he said that he's been very good in play action. They've done a nice job of kind of opening up short and intermediate routes when they've been able to get the run game going, and he's been very efficient in converting on those kinds of plays. But the one area that they've really struggled in is also an area the LSU defense has really struggled in, which is getting off the field on third down. Coming into this game, LSU and its three losses has allowed opponents, and I did the math this morning and was a little bit depressed by it, but they have allowed Florida State, Ole Miss, and Alabama to go 29 and 44 on third down. That's almost 66% on third down. For the season, they are giving up 46.6%, which is 122nd in the country, not very good at all. But the opposite side of this is that Florida has also really struggled on third down themselves. They're third, they're 100th in the country right now in third down conversion at just under 36%. So something's going to have to give this weekend. One team's going to be moving the ball down the field with relative consistency, or LSU's going to be sprinting off the field on third down like they just won a national championship or something. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to see which one of those things gives So yeah, I mean, I think it's going to come down to, can they improve their run fits? Can they kind of slow ATN and Johnson down early in the game, kind of force them to maybe be more one-dimensional with Mertz throwing those short and intermediate routes, and then being able to finish off plays, tackle, do your job, all that stuff we've been hearing for 10 weeks now, that has showed up in spots, but just not nearly as consistently as you need to. That's going to be the big key here, is them getting off the field on third down, giving more opportunities to the offense. And if they do that, I mean, they'll win this game pretty handily. But I just, again, much like with the Alabama game, I don't have much faith that they're going to be able to do that as consistently as maybe some others believe.
Yeah. Two other names to watch for Florida that, I mean, you kind of have to wonder how LSU's going to match up. Ricky Pearsall, who's been a playmaker, former teammate of Jaden Daniels out of Arizona State. And then a true freshman for them that has been a nice surprise, Trey Wilson, Eugene Wilson III. Man, he had a big game. Believe he's coming off a performance or performance where he was either SEC Player of the Week this past weekend or before in the freshman concern.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, Glenn, for 100 catches this year, and that, which is just about over 45% of their passing production this year. They've done a nice job. Those two, those are the two key guys you got to focus in on from a receiver perspective.
Yeah, Glenn, we'll end it with this. We typically go final thoughts here, but for this week's final thoughts segment, you give me a player that you're just intrigued that you might be locked in on. I've got one in mind, but I'll let you go first because hopefully we're not have the same one. But who's a guy that you're maybe going to be watching a little bit closer, maybe aside from the Jaden Daniels of the world or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked with Kyron Lacy. That might be one guy that would really make a lot of sense. He's had two touchdowns in the last three games. But for me, I'm already kind of looking into like the future and what the next year's roster could really look like. And so, I would really love to see on the defensive side of the ball, Whit Weeks. I mean, I know we've been pounding that name all season long from the media perspective of just getting him out there as an athlete. But, I don't think there's enough reps you could give him at this point in the season that he won't be able to take and really learn from and grow from. So I'd really like to see him. But then on the offensive side of the ball, I'll probably be a little bit boring, and I'll go with Brian Thomas. I mean, I think these last three games in particular are going to be really important for him. I mean, he hasn't exactly popped off in some of these games recently. It's been pretty much the Malik Nabers show, and then you've worked in Brian Thomas and Kyron Lacy from a passing perspective. But when he came out like gangbusters these first 6 weeks, it was like, man, there's no stopping this guy. But, the last couple games, Army and Auburn and certainly Alabama last week, I wouldn't say he disappeared, but he just didn't have the impact that he's had at other times this season that have made you believe he's great, great. 1-2 punch that this is. So I think if there's any chance that LSU has in terms of holding on to him for next year, I don't want to say he has to have a really poor last three games, because I don't think that's something you ever really want to wish on a player. But I think that, the game plan here is going to be to get him involved and try to see what they could have next year, whether that's with Nuss under center or with Jaden under center. I think that, leaning into him a little bit more down the stretch would be a real benefit, not only for him, but also for LSU, if they think they might have a chance at getting him back next year as the clear cut number one guy. So I'll say those two guys are the ones that I'm going to be watching most.
Yeah, I'm going to hone in on one guy. It was one guy that we wanted to watch last weekend and, held up, I think, fairly well for really his first kind of full experience. It's Javian Tobiano. I've got an eye towards the future with him, Glenn. I think he has the raw talent, the raw ability to be a big piece for this defense next season. And look, you're going to be playing at home for Tobiano. It's a guy that came in highly touted, maybe this is a chance for him to gain some confidence. We mentioned the matchups, Trey Wilson and Ricky Pearsall. Those are not easy matchups by any means, but it's maybe a proving ground over the next three games to say, hey, when you're looking at the portal, Coach Kelly, yes, well, I know we got to add some guys, but I can be a guy that you can maybe hopefully count on as we get into spring ball next year. So I'm going to go Javian Tobiano. And then offensive wise, I'm going to watch Charles Turner, because that was something that, people, I think, maybe give a pass to the struggles up front that LSU had, because it's Alabama, it's Tuscaloosa, one of the best environments in college football. You know, whether you're an LSU fan or not, you got to admit it was crazy. It was absolutely nuts. But they were having these problems at home, you know, against Auburn and Army at times. And so is this something that is, you know, strictly, and I asked Garrett Dellinger that, strictly there, Dellinger, you know, in the man of few words, and Garrett Dellinger said he just kind of thought it was that. But I think that's something to watch as well. Can they build maybe back up some of that confidence up front that they maybe lost in some of the snap infractions and just kind of those mental errors? But like Brian Kelly said, it's all the little things you have to do to become elite. So, hey, it's going to be a fun game, though. Florida, LSU, this one, Glenn, is a game where you kind of throw the records out each and every single year, because this is always kind of a wild, wacky one. Last year, obviously, this game, man, it really felt like it was the turning point for LSU's season to go on the road to Gainesville. And, you know, a Florida team that, I don't want to say Billy Napier's coaching for his job by any means, but Florida needs some confidence. And you know they're going to come in knowing they need a win to really kind of build back up their confidence as their season ends. And LSU trying to get to double-digit wins for the second straight season in a row. For Glenn West, my name is Bryce Kuhn. Hey, thanks so much for listening, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you might be listening. If you're on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button, set up the notifications as well. We'll have an instant reaction on Saturday night, I should say, maybe the wee early mornings of Sunday morning. And then we'll catch you back next week as we continue to rock and roll with this season. Still a lot going on, folks. Recruiting, everything. Make sure to check us out at go247.com.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.